Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a
city. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. And we come every Saturday to you. We try to be live every Saturday anyway at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we're here to tell everybody the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to be talking about Perry Stone. For some of you that aren't familiar with Perry Stone, he's kind of a folksy guy with a southern accent. And he just appears to be a very nice person, and you can kind of get caught up in how folksy he is and his knowledge of end time events, but I'm going to say that for the most part, Perry Stone is a false teacher. I would put him in the category of a pimp preacher. Now, I usually put people in that category by the way they do the fundraising, because that's how I base whether or not I am going to listen to anything they have to say. And I watch how they raise funds, because if you can't have honesty and integrity in fundraising, then I don't really want to hear anything you have to talk about if you're going to talk about Jesus, if you're a con artist, because it kind of doesn't mix ministry and con artistry, doesn't go together. So I've observed Perry over the years and noticed that he is many times a guest on the what they call telethons, but their embarrassment, it's an embarrassment to the body of Christ, these fundraising things, because number one, we don't really need any money to preach the gospel. Okay, let me say this. If you have a mouth, you can preach the gospel, because these people like to tell you that they have some kind of a special anointing and God called them to the ministry when they were a little child. So they're special. But my Bible says we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say, go ye all you anointed ones and preach the gospel. So we're all called to the ministry. Nobody has a special calling. So then you can send them special anointings so that you can get their ministry. No, we're all called to share the gospel, and that's free. If you can open your mouth, you can talk to your neighbor, you can put up a YouTube channel, that's free. You can put up a website, that's free. There's so many things you can do. So in that sense, you don't really need any money to preach the gospel. So, but if you have a television network, or you have a church building, or if you have a missions project, or even if you're out on the mission field in another country, yeah, then you do need money. And but the way that we get money is, well, you have a job, number one. You have rich parents. Or God speaks to people. God himself, God Almighty speaks to people. Yeah, he can do that. He can put it on someone's heart to send you an offering. I'm not opposed to people taking up offerings. There's nothing wrong with taking up an offering, or even if someone wants to give you an offering, that's fine. But we don't have to use extortion to get those offerings, and Perry Stone does use extortion. Let's look at two scriptures here. And you know that the Bible talks about extortion. Ezekiel 22:12. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increased, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Matthew 23:25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now this is Jesus Christ himself talking. For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. And many of the people that Perry Stone associates with TBN, full of extortion and excess. Paula White, full of extortion and excess. The Cirillos, oh, give me a break, full of extortion and excess. Now you say, why do you say that about Morris and David Cirillo? Well, go to Morris Cirillo's website and you will see now that he is building a monument to himself. What does that have to do with preaching the gospel, building a monument to yourself? David Cirillo has built a monument to himself. He actually is building some sort of a city in the Carolinas. I think it's in Charlotte or near Charlotte. And when you watch his so-called gospel presentation on television, it's one long telethon of one pimp preacher after another promising you the world if you send them an offering. So, no, I have no respect for the Cirillos or anyone associated with them. So, anyway, that's really my standard of judging any kind of ministry that I would listen to or have any confidence in, is how do they do the fundraising? And if they can't do it honestly and sincerely, then I'm turning them off and I'm keeping them off and I'm hoping that they repent or go away. Just go away. Do the world a favor. And do the gospel a favor. And just please, go away. But now Perry Stone, you can read his biography. He's got a short biography on his website. And I know he lives in Cleveland, Tennessee. I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee myself for about a year in the early 90s. So I'm quite familiar with Cleveland, Tennessee. There are actually four different Church of God headquarters there, different sects of the Church of God. And the town is full of Christian people. There's so many Christians in Cleveland, Tennessee. There also is a college there, Lee College, which is a Church of God university. They have quite a nice complex there. It's a nice little town, actually, Cleveland, Tennessee. But he lives there, and he says that he has three honorary degrees. He holds crusades around the world. He has a television ministry. He writes books. He's authored 40 books. He has 100 videos and DVDs. He has ministered in many foreign countries, it says. He says his first love is evangelism. And he is currently working on a project called the Omega Ranch Project, which will be for youth. And my message to Perry Stone is, okay, Perry, if you're going to be building a place for young people, at least have some integrity yourself and try to be a good example for these young people without selling the gospel by dishonest fundraising techniques. Because what good does it do to have a university or a training center and then you train people how to pimp the gospel? Well, no, that doesn't go together at all. So he's been married, it says, for 28 years, and he has 2 children. So you also want to train up your children, right? Because if you notice that a lot of these preachers, they they usually have their children taking over their ministry when they get too old or they're going to pass away. And then their children are just like them. They're like clones. They can't think for themselves. They preach the same messages. They use the same types of fundraising techniques. And you would think that, well, maybe, you know, maybe the kids could have some integrity and say, I'm not going to do it like my mother or my father did it. I'm going to preach the true gospel to people. Whether I get an offering or I don't get an offering, I'm going to still preach. If I have to stand on a street corner and preach, I'm going to be there. So that's what we hope and we pray. But especially, like I said, if some of these people have children, you want to be able to raise up your children to preach the gospel with honesty and integrity. So I'm going to pull up a couple clips here. And for some reason, my computer has gone blank. So just bear with me, and we're going to pull some of these things up, because I did was doing a little research on Perry Stone. And a few of the things that I found interesting, especially this one YouTube video of his father. And his father seemed like a nice man, and, you know, very likable person, but way out there, talking about that he had received a vision from a dead friend, had appeared to him, and told him that, you know, he was going to be in the ministry. Well, first of all, we don't talk to dead people. So it's like a sign should be going up right then. When anybody tells you that they talk to dead people, they don't talk. You can't talk to dead people. We're not supposed to communicate with the dead. It is called necromancy. And if you go back to, remember what happened to Saul. Now, he went and he consulted with a witch, and shortly after that, he died. we are not supposed to consult with witches and warlocks and dead people, especially about a ministry. So he also has a teaching on communion. And we know that we take communion in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember his life, and we remember his death, and we don't actually believe that we are ingesting Jesus when we take communion. That's a Catholic thing. The Catholics actually believe that that little wafer that they eat on Sunday is actually Jesus, and they believe that they are receiving Jesus when they eat the wafer. Well, Jesus does not live in a wafer, excuse me, but how could you believe that? That is a little bit ridiculous to believe such a thing. Not a little bit ridiculous. That's a lot ridiculous. But anyway, let me play the clip now that my computer is back up. I don't know what happened. But I'm going to play this clip from YouTube of Perry Stone talking with his father about him receiving a call to the ministry from his dead friend.
Joy to have you with me today on Manifest, but it's even a greater joy to have for a second program, my father, Fred Stone. Now, this is an eight-week series that we have been running in which we've been talking about the supernatural things of God, especially angels, angelic protection, and this type of subject matter. Dad, it's good to have you with me again today. I want you to know that. And folks really, really love when you're on the program. In fact, they've said we'd rather hear your dad than you. Hey, man. Hey, I would rather hear you than me a lot of times, too, to tell you the truth, because you've got just wisdom that has come with your... how many years have you been in ministry now?
This will be 59 years.
59 years. Okay, now, you know, you're going to gain wisdom. Now, what happened when you were called to preach now? I want to go to that.
That's when I was there at this little cabin, Barry, that I had, me and my dad had built. Dad had helped me in West Virginia up in a lease area for Iron Creek Coal Company. And I was up there praying and seeking the face of God. And Al Collins, while I was praying, I heard footsteps. It was in the fall, and there was leaves about 4, 5, 6 inches high. And I heard 2 or 3 steps behind the cabin. I'm sitting just like I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned and looked around and bent my head like this. And before I could see anybody, a hand reached through the right hand of a man, reached through the side of the cabin, and touched me on the head. And I thought it was an angel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the spirit man of Al Collins had touched me, you know what I mean, and spoke to me about what God wanted me to know, and that the Lord wanted me to know this and that and the other. And, of course, I was so overcome by the Spirit that it probably took me an hour after this experience for it to just kind of wear off. You know, Perry, supernatural experiences with God usually stay with people forever.
Mm-hmm.
They stay with you all your life. Now, they're not as fresh and they're not as great upon your spirit man as they were for the first 2 or 3 years or something, but they'll be there forever.
I remember when you told, I mean, I've heard you tell that for years about how that you actually, when that hand touched you, you collapsed and thought you had a heart attack and came out of your body.
Yeah.
Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And so there are experiences where it's either a vision or it actually is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you went out like being sucked out into the universe somewhere where you ended up, where it was a beautiful sapphire, beautiful sapphire blue. And you described what happened there. You said that you saw a ball of light that looked like the size of a silver dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Al stepped out of that and pointed his finger at you, right?
It was moving, Perry. It was so far in the universe I couldn't estimate how far it was. And it was moving with the speed of it's like a lightning bolt. It was coming toward me so fast. But when it got to from the size of my fist to the size of a person, but it was a ball of fire.
Mm.
A ball of light would be better, light and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got so far from me, it just stopped moving, and the light just vanished, and there stood Al Collins.
And this is the friend that had passed away. You're out in the universe somewhere.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, way out on the edge of
you were out
eternity.
And when he spoke his the communication, when he put his right hand out toward me, God let him speak to me.
And he said what?
Let him speak. That's when he said, and he didn't waste any time, Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I wanted to ask him questions, what it was like. Al, what was it like to die?
Mm-hmm.
What was this and that? That's what was on my mind.
Right, right.
Because we were such good friends.
Right.
But I wasn't permitted to do that. He looked at me and he put his hand out and he said, Fred,
praise God.
God has sent me. God has sent me to tell you.
No, he didn't.
Excuse me, Perry.
It's all right.
God has sent me to tell you.
Praise God.
That you're called to preach.
Oh,
he's called you to preach.
Jesus.
And you must preach. You must go and you must preach and you must obey.
We all must preach. Mm. We all must go.
And when he said that, the power of God came on me, Perry, and I couldn't answer him. Mm. I couldn't do nothing but just tremble.
Mm.
I just shook under the power of God.
Uh-huh.
And then but you came back to yourself in that cabin.
And, you know, he left one time. He started to leave.
Uh-huh.
And then something stopped him and told him he wasn't finished. And he turned around and said it the second time. Said the same thing.
Wow.
And that let me know it was Al Collins. There's no spirit.
Yeah.
It was the soul of Al Collins.
Now, you had an experience, too, where... You saw into heaven, and you saw books in heaven, and they actually had photographs in them, or what looked like photographs of the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah, they were.
Can you remember that?
The title of one of
those. So tell what happened, though. That's what's interesting.
Perry, it was, I walked into this, I was praying and just carried out in the Spirit. And I walked
in. Now, explain that for people that don't understand. When you say carried out, what happens?
Well, the Holy Ghost has come on me so great. The Spirit of God moves on you so great that He can do what He wants to do. He can show you
anything
He wants to show you. So in the Spirit, man, I was on my knees in prayer. But in the Spirit, my inner man walked into this great library.
No, you didn't.
Into this great library. And Perry had books. The width of them was about like this. They were about this high.
Was it about three feet?
Yeah, they were. And one of them was called The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. And then there was another book there about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But I felt led to look at The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. So I pulled it out, laid it in this table.
Uh-huh.
It was a table with just the most beautiful glistening white cover, and I laid it down, and when I opened the book, on the page, it said, I opened the title page, and it said, The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus, and I thought, well, I've never seen that book, so I started opening it up, and as I did, there was great pages of his preaching, and
You could read it and see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what do you think it was, Dad? Do you think it was the Holy Spirit while Jesus was on earth actually captured somehow for people to see one day everything that he did?
Well, John said there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one,
That's
I suppose that even the world itself.
Wow, that's
John
right.
John 21.
So what did you see? Like what? I mean, you saw.
Oh, it was like the Sermon on the Mount. Instead of just Matthew 5, 6, 7, it was other preaching that he did that was with that.
In other words, when the Bible says every word man gives an account of on that day, he literally has words, apparently, in books or something.
So the Holy Ghost put in the Bible what he wanted us to actually see and read of the words of Jesus. But, Perry, there could be millions of words of Christ and sermons of his, just like with yourself. Now, there's been times when you'd start preaching in your meetings that I would marvel because I knew what you were saying was not on notes. You weren't quoting from notes. And I believe, Perry, that that's where that a lot of preachers get so inspired today that God just pulled some of the preaching of Jesus that's not in the books of the New Testament and just puts it in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they preach
really?
It. And, you know, they're saying, people are saying, where in the world did that come from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where I never heard of that before.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Aren't you special? I don't think so, Perry. I don't think so. We don't have any extra biblical preaching that's not in the New Testament to pull out. Let me read you a few scriptures about familiar spirits here, because that's definitely what was appearing to Perry Stone's father, the disembodied spirit of his friend, Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20:6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Deuteronomy 18:11, or of a charmer or of a consulter with familiar spirits or of a wizard or a necromancer. Now, that's what was happening here. Necromancy, talking to the dead. 1 Samuel 28:3. Now, Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. 1 Samuel 28:9, and the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? 2 Kings 21:6, and he made his sons pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 2 Kings 23:24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the word of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Isaiah 19:3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fall in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. So, no, That vision did not come from God. It came from a familiar spirit. So, definitely not of God. I don't know what, you know, you hear these testimonies, and I'm going to play a clip here now from this man, Earthquake Kelly. Now, this man, Earthquake Kelly, claims that he also went to heaven. I do not believe in these heaven, these testimonies where people claim that God takes them to heaven and aren't I special? You know, I went to heaven, I went to hell. Maybe in their dreams they went. They might have been having a dream, but no, I don't believe God takes you to heaven and takes you to hell. But this man claims, this Earthquake Kelly, he claims that he was taken to heaven. He talked to his dead son. No, when somebody talks like that, well, immediately your gospel antenna should go up, and you have to say to yourself, now, wait a minute. First of all, we don't talk to dead people. We're not supposed to talk to dead people. I just quoted all those scriptures about that. So I'm not even going to listen to what this man has to say, or woman. I'm turning them off. No, he didn't go to heaven and talk to his dead son. But anyway, he wrote a book, and I think Perry Stone and his sister were you know, published this book, and then they didn't want to pay this guy or something. So anyway, he filed a lawsuit, but here's him talking about it.
Hi, I'm Bishop Earthquake Kelly. Many of you all out there, you know me for years. I've been on TV, I've been a professional boxer. Years before I became a Christian, I went through a lot of things. Back in 2006, a person who was a dear friend of mine at the time, Perry Stone, evangelist there in Cleveland, Tennessee, he had me one of his TV shows. And he admired me so much, he said, you should write a book. At that time, I didn't have any books out on my personal life. So I said, sure, that'd be great. He introduced me to his sister, whose name is Diana Stone. And we got into a contract of 3 years, and it seemed like it was going good. But it started to go sour. And so many things happened from that time where I wasn't being paid. I've tried many avenues to get her or him to do right by me. My book was selling as far up as $400 a piece on Amazon. I still tried to get Amazon to see that I was being ripped off and robbed, and they told me it's the American way, which it isn't. We all know that. So what I had to do, I had to go back and redo my book over. This is my book now that you will see on Amazon. This is the book that they're using. This book is a pirate. They have pirated my life story, making tons of money. It's not right. It's not fair. For my life that I've suffered from a little boy, through drugs, through sorcery and witchcraft, through gangs and an abusive father, to someone to steal my life story and take it as if it's their own, it's unfair, it's unright, it's unjust, and just not right. I'm asking that you all who are out there do not buy a book that has my name on it, that says Earthquake Kelly, because these are pirates. This is my book. This is my book. So I want to thank you. And also, I want you to know, they are selling this book. This book has the potential of making millions. They haven't paid me anything. Only one payment since 2007. They are becoming wealthy off of my life story. It's unfair. It's unright. It's unchristian. It shouldn't be done. I'm not getting paid for my suffering. This is my book. This is a pirate's book. And they have to change. And yes, I want to be paid for what I have suffered through. I've suffered through this. And I want to tell you thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Again, do not buy this. This does not help my family, doesn't help my ministry, it doesn't help anything. And I pray for them, those who are doing that. They're not doing, that's not God's work. He said, do not steal. Thou shalt not steal. I'm being robbed. So I thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Amen.
Wow. Anyway, that was the testimony there of Earthquake Kelly and his dealings with Perry and Donna Stone. I don't know. That doesn't sound very Christian, does it? You know that Perry, he sells this communion kit, and he claims that that's the meal that heals. And here's a little exchange that I'm going to share with you from Paula White, which we have absolutely no respect for her, and Perry Stone on her TV program. Paula says, I believe that as you take communion, that there is protection through that blood. Well, we don't have to take communion to get protection from God. Then the Bible declares that the blood not only saves us, not only protects us, but it also provides for us. You said there's a couple that we know very dear that had a financial need. And Perry Stone says, yes. And Paula says, and their father, a great pastor, Pastor Scott, told them God gave him a revelation. And Perry Stone says, yes. And Paula says, to take communion once a day. And Perry Stone said, he said, take it every day. And as you're praying, thank God for blessing you financially. Thank him that's part of the provision. They needed $50,000, and they got an amazing, remarkable $50,000 miracle. This couple did. Paula White says, call that toll-free number. We want to get you the meal that heals. Wow. Can you imagine? Yeah, let's call him up. What is that toll-free number? Boy, I sure could use $50,000. Couldn't you? Wow. That's called manipulation. You don't need any meal that heals. You don't need any communion kit. All you need to do, if you need finances, like we said, is get a job and pray, because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. We know it also says, give and it shall be given. But you don't pay God off for blessings. You don't have to throw $5 at his feet to get him to do something for you, because the Bible also says that God doesn't give you everything that you ask for because you'll consume it on your lust, which we've noticed that many of these preachers have done with their big multi-million-dollar homes and cars and airplanes and jewelry and clothes, and they have consumed it on their lusts. And so God didn't give them any of that stuff. But anyway, let's listen to a little teaching from Perry about communion.
Hello, I'm Perry Stone, international evangelist, author, and teacher, and host of the weekly program Manifest, which is aired around the world. I want to take a moment and tell you that I'm very, very excited to be sharing with you today the information on our brand new book, The Meal That Heals. Now, this book is very unique for several reasons. I think the first reason that it's unique is because it deals with a subject that very few people are familiar with. And that is the fact that in the first century church, the Bible tells us that they broke bread from house to house. When you research the term breaking bread, it actually alluded to the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. In other words, the first century church actually traveled from house to house conducting the Lord's Supper on a daily basis, not a weekly or monthly basis, but literally every day. We also talk about in this book how that through receiving daily communion, it is possible for a person to receive the threefold atoning work that Jesus did on the cross. It includes physical healing for the body, the healing, of course, of the human spirit, removing of sin and the iniquity that's in a person's life, but also the healing of the emotions and the soul and the mind. So the atoning work of Jesus was body, soul, and spirit. And we talk about how that by receiving the Lord's Supper, you can actually receive healing in every area of your life. And one of the things I think that also makes the book, The Meal That Heals, very unique is not just the fact that we go do an in-depth teaching on the power of the blood of Jesus, and we do an in-depth teaching on the cup and the bread, and even go all the way back to Passover in Exodus 12 and show you the original Lord's Supper, the original communion that was conducted there as the children of Israel were preparing to come out of Egypt. But there's several other subjects that we talk about in this book that we've not talked about in any other previous book that we've written. Let me share those with you very quickly. In the book, The Meal That Heals, we're going to discuss in detail why should you die before your time? In other words, why is it that some people die prematurely? How do you prevent that from taking place? Number two, what is the greatest hindrance to receiving your healing? After 31 years of ministry and just enormous research, I believe that we can share with people what the number one hindrance to receiving your healing is and how to deal with it. We also are going to talk about what do you do when Satan returns to your house. In other words, there are some people that are healed of a sickness, and that sickness reappears in their body 4, 5, or 6 years later, not necessarily in the same place, but a different part of the body. And we're going to talk about the example of how David killed Goliath and how Goliath had a brother by the name of Lami that David had to face almost 40 years after he killed Goliath. He looked like Goliath, but he wasn't Goliath. The issue is that what God heals you, you are healed of. And you may have to face another giant again, but I'll tell you how to defeat in the book that satanic spirit that tries to come against you. We talk about how to build a family altar and how to receive daily communion. Oh, there's so much more that I don't have time to tell you, but I hope you will take the time to see, read, and hear the book, The Meal That Heals, and we are happy to introduce it to the body of Christ, and I believe to the entire world at this time.
Wow. That's a whole lot of promises. And after all, Perry, he didn't have time to tell you all about it right then because you have to buy the book and buy the communion kit. And Perry, I have news for you. I don't need to take communion every day to get my atonement blessings because Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross. He is the atonement, and I don't have to take communion every day to get God to do things for me, like heal me. And nobody dies before their time because I personally do not believe the devil kills Christians. I believe, like the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. God is perfectly able to appoint the time that you are going to die. You don't have anything to do with it. So nobody dies before their time because they did something and disobeyed God. But if you're God's, then he decides when he's taking you home. And if God heals me, then the sickness is not coming back because God, when God heals me, you don't get sick again. Once God gives you a miracle, you keep the miracle. So he doesn't give you miracles and then takes it away from you. I don't believe that. And another thing is we don't call communion the Eucharist. That is a Catholic thing, Eucharist. We merely drink the cup and eat the bread in remembrance of the Lord's death. That's what he told us to do. He didn't say to make a religion out of it or to make a ceremony out of it and something that you must do every day. You know, that's ridiculous. So it's just another way to sell communion cups and books. And so that's about it with this communion mess. And also, when you a lot of times when you see Perry Stone, also he has a teaching on the blessings and the curses, and he talks about generational curses. I personally do not believe in generational curses. I believe that when you're born again, you're born again. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I don't believe that I have any, you know, curses left on me from my dead relatives or my family members that I have inherited. I have inherited the Holy Spirit as a born-again believer. So Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So either we're delivered or we're not delivered. It's just another thing to worry about. It's like now I have to worry that my Uncle Harry was an alcoholic and my Aunt Mary was an adulterer. So those spirits somehow got on me, and I have to worry that I've got these curses on me and these generational curses. Like, it's such foolishness. It just, either you're going to believe that you have been washed clean by being born again. Born again means you're born again. You're born of the Spirit of God. You have a new life in Christ. You're a new creature. Old things pass away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're now as white as wool. I am not going to worry about what I did in the past. There's nothing I can do about it. It's over. I'm forgiven, and I can rest in that. So just another thing to worry about, and maybe, you know, you have to go into one of their prayer lines to get deliverance from something you've already been delivered from. But there's just one last thing I wanted to bring up here. This is not a real good recording. I'm still learning how to download things and try to get play these clips for you. But this is a clip that Perry did with David Cirillo at one of his camp meeting, quote, telethon fundraising. And they need your money. You know, David Cirillo needs your money to preach the gospel because they don't have enough money to preach the gospel. So they need more. And Perry gives a heartfelt plug there for, it just tugs on your heartstrings that, you know, after all, somebody could get saved by tuning in. Most people turn the Cirillos off because even unbelievers can see the whole thing as a fraud, that they don't really care about people. They just care about making money. They long ago forgot about what it means to preach the gospel out of a pure heart. There's always some kind of a gimmick attached to it. So I'm going to close the program here with Perry making a heartfelt appeal to your heartstrings.
And they don't have to have a preacher trying to explain the nine ways of getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When he shows up, God does the same thing in every nation of the world. I hope somebody at home feels a little bit of what I feel. A whole lot of. Now I got one more for you. Now this is a good one. Because I begin to think about, when I say great, I'm still talking about great in size. Okay? But I thought about the great world religions and how do they teach their people? Well, they have their books. And you sit in schools. And you learn over and over about the book. Now, to some places of the world, you are born into that religion. I know in Egypt years ago when I toured Egypt, I had some really very friendly young men that were waiting on our table. And I said, are you Muslim? They said, no, we're Christians. I said, where do you go to church? They said, we don't. And I said, well, you don't go to church, but you're a Christian. And I found out that in Egypt, that if you don't go to the mosque, then they automatically assume you must be a Christian. Does that make sense? And so I realized that cultures look at things differently. But here's the real point. All religions of the world have their books and their teachings, and they share them with their people, and eventually you become what that book says. Let's consider real Christianity for a moment. A 60-year-old man who's never heard the gospel in his life, never heard or watched Christian television. You say there's nobody like that. You'd be surprised, folks. He's suddenly invited to a church service because he found out he was dying with cancer, and somebody said, please come to our church. There's hope there. There's life there. People will love you. He only came because of that. So a 60-year-old man walks into a church where he's never been, sits in a seat where he's never sat, among a bunch of people he does not know. Here's a preacher preach that he's never seen, a message that he's never heard, for 59 minutes. And on minute number 60, the preacher that he's never seen, preaching a message that that man has never heard, gives an altar call asking those who wish to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christ in their heart to come to the altar. And that man stands to his feet for the first time and walks down the aisle he's never walked to an altar where he's never been to meet a God he never knew. And he prays a 6-minute prayer. So a 60-year-old man, here's a 60-minute message and prays a 6-minute prayer and walks away changed. So, what's the proof that it's real? Hey, folks at home, how do we really know Christianity is real? How do we know it's not just all a show? Here it is. One word, change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You show me any religion in the world that you can lay hands on a drug addict that no one's been able to help and that man be set free the rest of his life. Show me another religion. Show me another religion that can take a prostitute and not have to retrain her, but can lay hands on her and she loses her desire to sell her body. Show me another religion that can take an alcoholic who's been bound for 40 years and God decked him cold at an altar and he lays there for 1 hour and gets up and loses his desire for drink. You want to know how I know it's real? Because there's hundreds of millions of people whose lives have been instantly, completely, totally changed by the power of the preaching of the gospel. I want every person that's heard me preach to pay careful attention to the word the Holy Spirit gave me for you. Sit back. Don't answer the cell phone. Don't answer the phone. Don't change the channel. Or we used to say turn that dial. There's not a dial now. But listen carefully. When I found out that in certain nations, when people change their religion and are baptized in water and become Christians, they lose all the support from the government and have to stand by pure faith. I start feeling ashamed of how American Christians give. Only 14% of Americans tithe. Giving has dropped.
I guess.
And while giving has dropped, we fuss about, are we going to get our Medicare cut? Are we going to get Social Security cut? Are we going to get food stamps? We're worried about things that people in other countries who become believers don't get. Nothing but trusting God.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Just listen to me for a minute. And I got so stirred. And David, I'm going to give the audience that's watching, wherever they're watching right now, the word God gave me. If what we have with the Bible, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word is real, and if it's true, why aren't we acting like it?
Yeah.
If you had a cure for AIDS, hey man, I found a cure for AIDS. Where is it? I put it in a bottle in the shelf in my refrigerator so nobody would get it. Oh, that's great. What about all the people dying with AIDS? What you going to do with that? Oh, well, I found the cure, but let's just wait. What if you found the cure for cancer? You found the cure. You're a researcher. You got it. Oh, no, you don't want to give it out. You know, I'm going to use it in case my family gets it, okay? It would be immoral. Oh, God, hear me, church. It would be immoral to have an answer for someone that could give them life and you hold back.
Ooh.
When you could have a little key in helping give somebody life.
Yeah.
And here's what the Lord told to me.
He did not.
He said it to me, and I'm as serious as I can be. You all ought to know me enough to know you don't ever hear me stand up and say, God said, listen, I know God said. He stirred me up recently, the past couple of days. And I just want to challenge you that if this is the truth, if this book is true, and the programming that you see on INSP with even the camp meeting services and Manifest and the other programs that are going across the world and people are being saved, if we have the truth, for God's sake, let's support it. For the kingdom's sake, let's support it. Because can I tell you something? You're not taking anything with you except the people whose lives you help change. Your reward is not going to be based on how many homes you had, the kind of car you drove, and the education of your children. That's wonderful here, but that's not going to help you there. What's going to make the difference is for God's people to say, we've got to get the gospel out. And we've got to get it out to the nations. Because we don't know when these nations might shut down.
Ooh.
And our opportunities may be limited in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say something to you. I want everybody watching, please, I'm imploring you. You've never heard me. This is the God's truth. I've never stood here, let me say it this way, with an urgency in my spirit that we must do something now to help spearhead the continued promotion of the gospel through media like this, and satellite and cable. You know why? Because I'm telling you, Americans are becoming suicidal and depressed and angry and fearful. And do you know who's going to help them? The church.
The church.
You know where they're going to start turning, many of them, because they have a background of the seed of God's word? The church. I can't tell you the number of times, David, when I've been preaching in my conference, and somebody would walk up to me and they would say, I had a gun to my head. I had pills in my hand. And I was about to take my life and turn the channel. And you preached the message. And it saved me. It wasn't me saving them. It was the power of the word of God that was going forth across the airway. So right now, I'm not talking about later. I'm talking about right now. I'm going to tell you what I want us to do. If the gospel we preach is true, then let's do something. Ready? Let's give for souls. That our reward is not earthly, but it'll be heavenly. The greatest thing that will ever happen to you is to be able to stand in heaven and somebody walk up to you, because God will know all things, and tell you, you helped me here. Well, sir, I don't think we met. No, but you gave. I'm serious as I can be. This is what's going to happen. And right now, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to give $30 a month for 12 months.
Mm.
You that know me know that I'm very much into Hebraic things, and the old calendar was 360 days making a year. It wasn't solar, it wasn't lunar solar, 360 days making a year. That's $30 a month for 12 months.
Mm.
And according to God's grace and blessing on your life, I want you to go to the telephone right now and say, you know what? The gospel is real. Jesus' name is powerful. The Holy Spirit is alive. I am going to help INSP to keep programming on the air, not only in North America, but around the world.
I don't think so. Wow, that just really tugs on your heartstrings, doesn't it? Well, you know what? If David Cirillo was so interested in preaching the gospel, then why doesn't he just get a YouTube channel? Or get a program on Blog Talk Radio. He doesn't need $100 million a year to preach the gospel. By the way, you're building a city over there, so if you were so interested in souls, why are you building a city? It sounds like you're trying to enrich yourself. And I don't know, Perry, what you said something about, like, you know, this, you're into Hebrew something, and $30 a month, that's the power of suggestion, $30 a month for 360 days, that has something to do with Scripture. That has nothing to do with Scripture. So I suggest that you both get a life. You need to get a real job until you can stop manipulating people and conning people to preach the gospel. Most of these TV ministries or people that own TV stations or satellite ministries, they make more than enough income selling the airtime, which they don't like to tell you the real truth, that they have more than enough money to preach the gospel on their networks. They don't need to ever have another telethon or take up another offering to keep their TV ministries on the air. Those basically are self-sufficient. What they need the money for is to get richer, is to buy more TV stations, more property, more mansions, more jet planes. That's what they really need the money for. So let's cut out the comedy there. And Perry, you need to repent and get your life right with God, because you sell out so that you can have FaceTime on these networks and have programs, and it's just not worth it. You know, you'd be better off having your own little internet. Anybody, and you know, we don't need to preach the gospel on television to foreign countries, like, oh, the gospel is going to close to them unless Inspiration Network stays on the air. Well, almost anybody can get an internet connection. So, and they can preach the gospel for free to these foreign countries, and we don't have to support these preachers' lavish lifestyles. Anyway, quit the lying, please. Enough already. Don't you wonder? I mean, I know that most of the people that listen to this program feel like I do. Like, can't you wait for all this to stop? And don't you want to see, I yearn to see people on television that have a real heart for God. They just do it because they love God, whether or not they get paid or not. They're still going to preach the gospel. They're still going to have a voice sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world, even if they have to pay for it. Don't wait for somebody else to pay for it. If you have so-called, you're called to preach the gospel, just do it. And God will honor that. If he wants to, he'll bless it. And everybody can do their part. If we all did something, we can put these pimp preachers out of business, which I would like to see them go away for the sake of the gospel, because it must look ridiculous to people tuning in that don't know the Lord. And they say that they have to have the money so that sinners can watch the programs and get saved. Most sinners don't even want to watch it because it's such an abomination. They turn it off. They probably sit there hysterically laughing when they see these presentations with the selling the holy water and the anointing oil, and they know it's phony. So anyway, that's our program for today. And most importantly, if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. You can repent of your sins. The most important thing is to repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't say, well, I'm a good person. Well, nobody's good enough. It's only because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection that we are good enough, that we are righteous in any way, shape, or form, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can ask Jesus to come into your life today and to forgive you of your sins and to give you a brand new life. And get yourself a Bible and start reading the Bible. Feed yourself on God's Word. He will renew your mind, and all the old things will pass away, and you will become a new person. You see, the things that you wanted to do before, you won't want to do anymore. You just won't. You don't want to sin. And, of course, we do. Christians can still sin, and we do, but we don't stay in that sin. We know when we sin because the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're trying, all of us, you know, we're trying to walk that straight and narrow, aren't we? And we need the saints. We need the fellowship of the saints. Thank God. Our God does have a people, and he has a good people. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church, the real church, it's full of God's wonderful people. And I'm very thankful for my brothers and sisters in the Lord today. I don't know what I would do without the body of Christ. So I want to thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to be with us next week. We'll have some interesting programs coming up. I'm going to do a program in the future about the Daystar Network, Marcus and Joni Lamb, and about God TV, Wendy and Rory Alec. And so you'll be able to tune in for those. So God bless you today. Have a wonderful day, and make Jesus the Lord of your life. You'll never be sorry.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.